Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, September 20th, and some good news and bad news on the injury front for the former and current Detroit Pistons family. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for making us part of your summer daily routine as the summer is closing down this weekend and the basketball season is just ahead, just around the corner. Some good news comes from the Pets front today as Eastwood the dog seems to be settling down for the Van Gundys, who are still in the area, according to an article from Vince Ellis of the Detroit Free Press, which we will detail. The bad news comes from an article by Keith Langlois of Pistons.com. Reggie Jackson did not have as good of an offseason as Pistons fans would have hoped. We got the details on that. And also today, we will be joined by Isaiah Hole of the new Locked On Wolverines podcast. He'll tell you who he is and why you should listen to the show as the Michigan football season rolls on this weekend. But give me a follow on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account where we highlight everything you need to know if you're a Pistons fan on Twitter with stuff from our show and across the other media spectrums that cover this team, the NBA landscape as a whole, and also the sports world from the Detroit area. We pass along the big stuff and some thoughts we have on some things that are going on throughout the state of Michigan as well. But first, from today's Detroit Free Press front and center on the front page of the sports section, which is strange considering all that's going on with the Detroit sports world these days and how the Pistons definitely aren't front and center with Detroit fans, that the dog of the former and fired coach gets the big headlines and photos on the sports page. But who can resist those dog photos, I guess? An article from Vince Ellis of the Detroit Free Press, the Pistons beat writer, details how Eastwood the dog and the Van Gundys are doing. The Labrador Retriever mix that the Van Gundys acquired, I guess, adopted from after an agency was looking for homes for rescued pets. He had a rough start with the family, apparently. Some outbursts, some problems with the other pets. The Van Gundys are a big rescue family. And ended up on Prozac and figuring out some other ways to detail with some of the behavioral issues, including getting a trainer early on. He had an irritable eye issue that ended up having a costly surgery to fix. But overall, the good news is things are much better with Eastwood the dog, apparently. And it sounds like he was playing up at the lake with Stan. A couple of nice pictures of Stan and his wife, Kim Van Gundy, with the dog that were in the newspaper as well. Stan and Kim still living in Clarkston on a lake while the weather is nice. Sounds like for the foreseeable future or the coming up future that they will be holding on to the house in the area for now. We'll see if Stan still has a presence in Michigan going forward. His fall home is down in Orlando, Florida from his old stop with the Magic. Seems like that's more of his home base there. But I think Stan will be back in our faces in short order, probably with the media in first. But it's good to see, of course, that Eastwood the dog, who's about 3 years old now, is doing well. But the bad news comes in the form of the human health of the Pistons with Reggie Jackson, his offseason. Reggie told Keith Langlois of Pistons.com in an article that came out on Wednesday that he hasn't been playing basketball this offseason because of the recovery from his badly sprained right ankle that he suffered the day after Christmas last season as the Pistons were routing the Indiana Pacers in a game at Little Caesars Arena. Since Jackson returned for the final 12 games of last season and played pretty well, scoring 29 points in a game against the Brooklyn Nets as the season closed last year, it was assumed that he was doing just fine and would have a relatively normal offseason. But maybe this is the new normal for Jackson, who didn't work out hardly at all last offseason after treatment for his left tendonitis and his knee and left knee, the tendonitis that he had there, which was the old injury the Pistons fans were worried about. Now everyone is just kind of worried in general about Reggie, and definitely not a good way to start the preseason as training camp starts next week for the Pistons. And it's definitely getting old. It always seems to be something with Reggie for Pistons fans lately. And he also said he had a minor procedure on the ankle. Sounds like one of those platelet-rich plasma injections that he had on the knee last offseason. In a quote from from the article with Keith Langlois attributed to Reggie Jackson, he says, "I'm going day to day. I don't necessarily know. I'm going to come in and do what they tell me, what they allow me to do. I think our organization, our coaching staff, and the training staff have a great game plan on when I will get back and how to implement myself back into workouts. Later on, he says, I don't necessarily look at it as a setback. It was unfortunate. I want to play, but we all get better in our own way. I had to challenge myself differently this summer. It was about getting healthy. Can't touch a ball, but put up a million shots in my lifetime. I can countlessly work. They kind of even talked to me about toning it down because they felt it might be what led to injuries. Just trying to find a way to be smarter with the time I'm allotted on the court, end quote. So Reggie not working out, not getting shots up, not improving his game, but trying to get healthy this offseason. But he also said he's talking a lot with Coach Dwayne Casey about how to get things going with the offense as the new point guard and coach marriage gets started here in a month. So again, not good news for the Pistons there, and we'll see what he's able to do in training camp and the preseason. That'll be the big story with the Pistons going forward. An old bit of sorts for Pistons fans to be talking about the health of Reggie Jackson, especially when the other elephant in the room is the health of Blake Griffin going forward. He's healthy, but has a history of obviously missing a lot of time throughout his NBA career. But what do you think? Are you guys worried? Is this freak out reason? Is it reason to just tune out the Pistons and think of got another lost season coming up? Let me know on social media, or you can call and leave a voice message or text our new Google voice number and let me know your 2 cents about Reggie Jackson's latest news. The number 810-666-1546. Again, 810-666-VINNIE-JOHNSON, Joe Dumars, Terry Mills. 810-666-1546. But fantasy football is underway, and we've got two fantasy football shows to help you. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 gives you all the latest news, waiver suggestions, and injury news. And Locked On Fantasy Football is now the Locked On Fantasy Football Experts with amazing guests every Monday with Tom Kucinich there. On Tuesdays, we got Eric Edholm, and Wednesdays, Jeff Ratliff and Tyler Lechner. Up next, we're going to talk to Isaiah Hole of the new Locked On Wolverines podcast, the newest member of the local family in the Locked On Podcast Network. But you've heard me talk about advertising, and guess what? I'm actively looking for more partners now that I'm back in Detroit. So if your company wants to reach that key demo of men between the ages of 18 and 44, provincial Pistons fans that probably have ties to Metro Detroit and an interest in spending their dollars locally, then you should be sponsoring this podcast. 98% men and 80% of those between the ages of 18 to 44, all sorts of daily dedicated listeners. So if you're interested in reaching that group, email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we are being joined by Isaiah Hole, the new host of the Locked On Wolverines podcast, of course, covering Michigan football this fall on the podcast. Isaiah, welcome to the Locked On Network, first of all.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a really fun week so far just to be able to get in and do this. I didn't know what to expect to do a daily podcast, and it's a heck of a lot of fun, and it's really cool how big this network is.
Yeah, it's great, and a lot of the fan interaction is what you'll enjoy as well. It's something we enjoy here on the Locked On Pistons. Now, obviously, a lot of the Locked On Pistons listeners are double as Michigan fans on Saturday afternoons as well. But Isaiah, why don't you tell the listeners who aren't familiar with you who you are and how you got started with the podcast?
Well, I've been covering Michigan football for the last this is my fourth season, actually. I did it 1 year somewhat unofficially, and then I got hired by 24/7 Sports, and I was there for 2 seasons. And then after that, I ended up starting up my own site through USA Today Sports Media Group, which is Wolverine's Wire. I'm the publisher of that site. So tons and tons of content there every single day. And from there, I guess David Locke, the wonderful gentleman who runs this whole organization, he had heard of everything I was doing with Wolverine's Wire and asked me if I wanted to check out what they had, everyone had going as far as all the different Locked On podcasts and everything, and checked it out. And I was like, man, I'm in. This is awesome. Gotta find a new outlet to continue to talk about Michigan, and another outlet rather. And a lot of people were asking me, because I was a part of the old Wolverine 24/7 podcast, which they still continue with Steve Lorenz and Zach Shaw. And a lot of people said, well, we really wanted to see a podcast from you, especially because I've been making a lot of TV appearances and things of that nature lately. And it was just the next step of the evolution, and excited to do it. It's been different, but it's been really awesome so far.
Well, Isaiah, I've been checking out the first week, and we appreciate the work so far. But what about the team in Ann Arbor right now? The SMU game, I was up there on Saturday, and I'll actually be up there on this Saturday against Nebraska as well. Up and down performances through 3 weeks. But what do you think about how things are coming together? A little bit different for Jim Harbaugh's team the last couple of years. Maybe some really good Septembers that turned into some not so great Octobers and Novembers as the years went on, but now maybe a little bit slower of a start. But what's kind of the reason for optimism that things will come together through for the big rivalry type games and some of the showdowns that the Wolverines have coming up over the next few weeks?
Well, the way I see this season, the way it's worked so far, reminds me a lot of 2015, how that season kind of started and played out. Obviously, you hope that you don't have a October rivalry incident the way that they did in 2015, but very similar, I think, in that Michigan opened on the road, hostile environment against a really good team, and things didn't look all that put together, and that they started, you know, they start putting things together slowly but surely from that point forward, and the schedule kind of bears that out as well. Granted, I did predict Michigan was going to end up shutting out SMU, much like they did against BYU and Northwestern back in 2015. Didn't clearly come to pass. I think I clearly underestimated what SMU was able to do. But I just see things like kind of shaping together in a very similar way. They're not asking Shea Patterson to do a lot yet. But what he's doing really better than any quarterback I can remember seeing at Michigan to this point. I mean, it's been a very long time since Michigan's had a guy that's been able to do what he's doing. And I know they're against I don't want to say inferior opponents, but not the highest caliber opponent. But you're still, when you go back, you look back like the last 12 years, as far back as you can go with CFB stats, like basically Michigan every single year has had like one 70% passer, maybe two, over the course of the season. And Shea's done it in two games and almost did it in a third. If he would have completed one more pass against Notre Dame, he would have been over 70%. So been really great from the quarterback position. You're seeing things come together from the wide receiver position. Running back has been obviously very good, even with the injuries and everything like that. Caron Higdon's looked like a monster when he's been out there. Obviously they kind of went away from him against Notre Dame a little bit and still had issues getting to that elusive 3 yards per carry mark against a good defense. But as far as I can see, they're really starting to gel. The offensive line is getting a little bit of push up front again against, you know, what you call inferior opponents, but that's something that they weren't doing a year ago. So you look forward to going to these next few games. Nebraska doesn't look as daunting as it might have. Northwestern certainly doesn't. And then finally you get a really big matchup in Wisconsin on October 13th. That's going to be when you finally really get to know something, but they even lost to BYU. So maybe we don't know yet if that was an issue of Wisconsin taking the day off or if Wisconsin has some issues that are there to be exploited. We'll find out. As far as everything goes with Michigan, I think the defense is going to be fine. There's obviously been some issues here and there. With the defense being having some lapses, giving up some big plays, not getting off the field on third downs. Those are things that they've done every single year the last few years, and it hasn't happened as much this year despite pretty much all the talent coming back. I would expect those things to be shored up. They clearly are mental lapses. It's not as I believe it was Tyree Kinnell said earlier this week. It's very clear that these aren't issues that have to do with their – like they're not getting outmatched from a physical standpoint. It's just mental lapses. You look at that big touchdown they gave up to SMU. It was some kind of miscommunication between the cornerback and Brad Hawkins, and Brad Hawkins ends up in chase. So I would think that they're going to get a lot of that type of stuff shored up, and you would hope, obviously, now that it's Big Ten play, but there's a lot to like about this team. I thought there was a lot to like going into the season, regardless of how they played against Notre Dame. And weirdly, I think, you know, losing to that number 8 team as they currently sit took the wind out of so many people's sails, as if Michigan had lost to an unranked team that had no business being anywhere near any of the polls. And it's not the case. Yeah, it didn't look very good the way it went down, but at the end of the game, you still had the ball with 2 minutes left and a chance to tie the game and, or win it if you want. They were so inclined to go for two if they were able to actually convert. So there is a lot to like about what this team has, and their schedule, as daunting as a lot of people have said it is, the way it bears out is kind of perfect because it gives them some of these games to kind of find what they're trying to do, find their groove, find their mesh. And then they get a really brutal three-game stretch. Then they have another slight reprieve, and then Ohio State.
Now, as far as the show, Isaiah, there's some things that listeners, and I know that as it goes on, it will evolve and you'll come up with some more things and different features and different approaches of getting in touch with the fans and the network. Are there some ideas that you have going already? And what are some things that you have down the road that might be in store as well?
Well, yeah, one of the cool things that we already did was brought on Daxton Hill the day before he committed to Michigan, the five-star safety out of Oklahoma. We definitely want to try to make talking to some of these guys on the record one of the mainstays. I feel like that's one of the things that just doesn't really happen. And, you know, we talk to some of these guys, these recruits that come and visit the program week in, week out all the time. It's how we obviously write articles about it. So thought it would be a nice change of pace to bring him on the program. That's something like I'd like to continue. I have a couple ideas of some segments that we haven't gotten to. Really want to have some fun with some Jim Harbaugh audio. We get him every single Monday, and I think it'd be a little bit of fun to delve in and look at, like, you know, is this coach, you know, decipher what's coach speak and what's reality. That's a game that I've been trying to play, but it seemed like we got pushed back a couple times because of the Daxton Hill, first his getting to talk to him, and then the next day he committed. So things kind of got out of hand there as far as getting to that actual segment. One of the things that we're definitely going to do is talk to some media folk like yourself. Definitely want to tell some stories that we haven't heard before. I feel like you never really get to hear, not like you've kind of did it here by giving me a minute to say who I am and everything, but never really get to hear about the people covering the stories. And I feel like that's something that people always want to know about. I've always found that people have always gravitated towards wanting to know the personality that much more of the person who's writing about the teams they like. So going to try to do that with a lot of the Michigan football personalities and writers, and then we'll get to what they are good at after that, whether they be a beat reporter, someone that covers recruiting, someone that covers, you know, that does it through radio, or if it's a national guy, we'll really try to get opinions as far as the landscape of Michigan football, the Big Ten football, the college football at large, from some of those voices. Every Monday, we're gonna go in and we're gonna break down how the rest of the Big Ten did. Despite the fact that I am actually very objective, I couldn't care less about the rivalries now that I'm in a, you know, as far as being in a reporting type role. I do enjoy tweaking it a little bit, especially when there are the Mike Vellenis of the world out there, and I'm good friends with Rico Beard, and he obviously does that all the time. So would love to also love to try to get him on as well. But those are the types of things that we're trying to do. And really everything you read over at Wolverine's Wire is going to play hand in hand with everything that we do at Locked On Wolverines. It's the two are going to be very synonymous in the way that they kind of work together. So you can kind of expect that if there's a feature of some sort, very, very, similar to how every Wednesday I have a show, like a webisode type deal with former Michigan quarterback Devin Gardner, where he breaks down what he saw in the game before. We talk about the game upcoming. I happened to ask him on Tuesday about Daxton Hill. So that he gave his opinions on Daxton Hill and everything about his how this five-star safety, how what he sees out of him as a player, why he's special. And everything that I talked to him about on the show was got to be a part of the podcast that very next morning, because it just so happened to have Devin talking about, you know, this huge recruit that Michigan just got, maybe their biggest save for Rashawn Gary and Jabril Peppers over the course of the last 10, 20 years. So definitely a lot of interplay there between the my two ventures, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and excited to see how that shakes down. And obviously Michigan fans excited to get the five-star safety coming to town soon as well. And Isaiah Hole, you can find him on Twitter at IZAIAHHOLE. So not exactly like Zeke on the spelling. And then also the Locked On Wolverines.
I do it the correct way.
The correct way, okay.
But it's the biblical way. Isaiah Thomas is like literally the only person that's Isaiah out there that spells his name like that. So he's the wrong one, just so you know.
He's there, and then, but hey, this is his home team podcast, though. So you maybe want to.
I know. I was born the same year. I was born the same exact year that Isaiah Thomas was drafted. That wasn't by accident. So I can't. I only get a little. I get a little bit annoyed only because of the. It's like everyone spells my name wrong, and it's like, oh, damn you, Isaiah! Why'd you do this to me?
That second championship was probably the one that really solidified the spelling and the popular vernacular. But you can also follow the Locked On Wolverines podcast at Wolverines on Twitter as well. Isaiah, this is the Locked On Pistons podcast. So before I let you go, what's your background with the team? Are you a Pistons fan? Were you a Pistons fan? And tell us something maybe about Glenn Robinson, the former Wolverines player who's joined the team in free agency. What do you got? What do you got for us Pistons fans coming up with the season coming up here?
I am a Pistons fan. I haven't watched as much since 2008. That's not because of the team, you know, starting its somewhat decline at that point. It was just because I moved to California, and while I did get the NBA package on cable and everything out there so that we could watch the Pistons, my roommate and I, because of my job and then the time change, I just never got to ever watch them anymore. Since being back, I've caught them intermittently. I've tried to get into it. Obviously it's been tough sledding here and there. The beginning of last season was really exciting. Definitely caught a lot then. Haven't been to LCA for a Pistons game yet either, which is really disappointing. I really want to go. Got to go to a couple games at the Palace before the end there. Definitely excited to see what happens when the team's all healthy. It just seems like that's been really Reggie Jackson being out all for so much of the season last year, especially once you finally get Blake Griffin in, that just felt like such a killer, you know, just that just seemed like everything was about to turn there when they brought Brett Blake in. And I'm not against, I know a lot of people are against the Blake trade just for the sake of how much it took to get him. But I think he's such a great player. I think that's a chance you take. It definitely hurts when you watch the NBA draft and see all those players go off the board. But, you know, Blake Griffin is at least better than really anywhere where the Pistons would have picked for at least this, you know, past year. So you got to look at it that way, at least I do. As far as Glenn Robinson, and I totally forgot that he got added to the team. I haven't got to see much of him in the NBA just because when I do get to watch, it's usually been the Pistons. I don't really try to do the national thing when it comes to the NBA as much as I used to. Back in 2002, 2003, all the way till 2008, I watched about any NBA game I could get my hands on. But it's Glenn Robinson. I just think back to Michigan and everything. He's just such a dynamic athlete. He's one of those guys. He reminds me of Tayshaun Prince in the sense of his closing speed, in that especially you get him around the basket, or like I always think about whenever I think of Tayshaun, whether it's the block or, you know, his ability to shoot threes and him being a lefty, the thing I tend to think about most actually is how he would rise up and it'd look kind of like, oh, Tayshaun's going up for a dunk. He somehow just made that a dunk, and it comes at you with a violent ferocity. Glenn Robinson has the same exact trait. He's able to do that. So hoping to see him definitely get involved under the basket, be that he's not necessarily a post presence, obviously, but to give you another option in that light, I think that would be very beneficial, of course. So that would be something I'd look out for out of him. I didn't really get to evaluate his game very much because I wasn't covering Michigan when he was there. I was more just kind of watching as a fan at that point, as an alum, and rooting him on. And you know, he was such a fun player to watch. Hopefully he's the same now that he's a Detroit Piston.
Yeah, and we're interested to see how the new player fits in with the new team here with the Detroit Pistons, but we're excited to have our new player, Isaiah Hull, joining the team with the Lockdown Network. See what I did there? See how I tied those things together? Maybe take notes, and maybe we'll see those kind of things from Lockdown.
Realize that has me confused, and I'm just going to end up in a Pistons jersey down at LCA being like, what? Matt said I could.
We mix the metaphors, but that's what we do here on Lockdown Pistons. Isaiah, thanks for the time today. Everyone, go ahead and listen and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll be checking in with you maybe later on in the season and seeing how the Michigan football season goes, and getting some more Pistons thoughts from you. So thanks for the time, Isaiah.
Absolutely. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
And thanks again to Isaiah Hull for joining us from the Locked On Wolverines podcast. Be sure to catch the show and support the family of networks. But speaking of support, this weekend, check out Detroit Sports Collectibles, the store in Clawson that is one of our partners, the hats, the Made in Detroit shirts, the All Sports Simulator, the Golf Simulator, football figurines, the music posters, the Lambeer and Mahorn poster from the Bad Boys, all the beer hats, just great stuff that you didn't know you needed, but you definitely do. Check them out, 661 South Main Street in Clawson, just south of 14 Mile. We would appreciate your support of them, and tell them you heard about them on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Get 10% off your order as well. You can also check them out at DetroitCollectibles.net. They will be there all this weekend, Friday and Saturday and Sunday during the day. Go check them out, 661 South Main Street, just south of 14 Mile in Clawson. They're on Main Street there, so thanks for Jim and Ann for supporting us here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But that'll do it for the week. Thanks to Scott Hastings for joining us this week. If you haven't heard the multi-part interview with him earlier this week, check that one out. And thanks again to Isaiah Hull for joining us. Training camp is next week. Media Day Monday, training camp in Ann Arbor on Tuesday. Looking forward to spending some time with the Pistons and passing along whatever questions to whatever players you want to hear. So get in touch with me on social media or through the 810-666-1546 Google Voice line for the show, and let me know what you want to hear from Media Day and all that other good stuff next week. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying enjoy the weekend, everyone, and thanks for listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast.